Well, that was a nice start. Thank you. Taking advantage of our music team. That's awesome today. Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston.
Hey.
Thought for a minute the mic wasn't on. I know they're all paralyzed by the music this morning. It's good to see everyone here today. If there's any way we can help you, please check in with us after the service. A couple of big things happening. Today we have a movie. Mary, would you like to talk about the movie? Yeah.
So we'll have some snacks and lots of fun.
And next week
we have our bowling event for fathers and sons, men and boys, grandpas and grandsons. After church, after coffee hour, there will be pizza, and then you can head over to the lanes, Thomaston Lanes. I reserved three lanes. So
great, that's awesome. Christy, do you have anything you'd like to share this morning? No? Okay, nothing about the Valentine's Day and chocolate dipping thinger in a couple of weeks. And the mother-daughter retreat, February, the end, people need to sign up for. Anyone have anything they would, Glenn does.
I don't need the mic.
That's what everybody says, but.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Tuesday night, we got invited to, there's a coffee house over the top of Krabby Al's. And the praise and worship team is going to be down there for 2 hours.
2 hours.
Playing music. There's going to be 10 or 11 of us. Come on and join us, sing. Stop down at Krabby Al's. Have a cocktail. It might make it easier for you to sing when you come upstairs. Well, come and join us, please.
What time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Downstairs.
No, there's a art gallery upstairs.
Okay. Anyone else have anything they would like to mention this morning?
Oh yes. Well, yeah. Here. I'm gonna give these to Lori.
It's not on.
It is. Is it on? It's on. All right. Are your tax receipts? Yeah. Who's going to give them out? Dawn's going to give them out. Okay. You got it.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to give an update on the search committee for our pastoral candidate. In the interest of complete transparency, we want to do it three ways. So we want to send it out in the contact. We will give an update at the business and quarterly meetings that happen monthly, and then we will also do it once a month here for those who don't attend either, okay? So just to let you know, the search committee has been meeting weekly on Wednesday evenings to ensure timely progress. Our time together begins with prayer and much reflection. We have participated in a comprehensive orientation by our superintendent, Pastor Howard Borgine from the East Coast Conference, and he has given us clear parameters with checklists to keep us organized. In addition, we have an online portal called Basecamp, and Basecamp allows us to sort of chat together, upload documents, get resources, and provides quite a bit of help for us. And lastly, the search committee has determined the topics and the questions that we will be asking during the interview process. We received a pool of candidates that are interested in interviewing, and we will be selecting the candidates to start that interview process in the next week or two. Thank you.
Would you please now stand for our introit, number 507 in the blue hymnal.
Thank
people of God, who do you come to worship?
We come to worship the one true God.
How will you worship?
Not with words alone, but by living lives of justice and love.
Come, you who belong to God. Come, who you are foolish in the eyes of the world.
Come and abide in God's tent and in God's heart, now and forever. Amen.
Join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for this morning is from the prophet Micah, Chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and your enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised. What Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The second reading this morning is from the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. And if you want to follow along, that's on page 785 in your pew Bibles. The first 12 chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. And this is the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Snowballs by my own group. And I'm not going to say that there was one in particular that got me by more. I'm not going to name names here, but every time I turned around, I got hit by a snowball and a beautiful smile. They sent me some mixed messages, but it was a lot of fun.
And Ms. Vidowski always said, make sure you hit your intended target.
And they did.
Fear
of the cold.
Medical issues.
Oh, yeah. what did I say? And we all did some interpretive dance, including me, and we looked around for Mrs. Badowski, and I was told, well, wait a minute, Mrs. Badowski has what? Health issues, yeah.
So, yeah, I wasn't even in the group picture. Whatever you saw, I was inside. But anyway, I did all the indoor work. Glenn doesn't like to dance to the songs. I do, so I took care of all of that.
You didn't see me on the ice? I was crushed it.
So I want to make sure you hear the kids, because this was an amazing part of our retreat. The speaker, Pastor Albie from Cape Cod,
yep.
I'm not sure if any of you know him, but it was an amazing message that he had for the kids. And he actually says he does this with adults as well. And so we wanted to share this with you on a 2 to 3 minute way to share the gospel with someone if you're not, you know, don't want to be real Bible thumping type of person. So who's going to start? Britta? All right. So our first circle represents Britta.
God's design
and how the way, or the way he wanted the earth to be.
And what does brokenness look like?
Like these just scribbles and
so the kids were able to elaborate a lot on brokenness. Believe it or not, they understand a lot more than what we think they do. So this was a big part of the sermon. And then, Britta. What happened?
Then God came down, or Jesus came down as a baby. He was crucified, and then he went back up to heaven.
And what did he do that for, so that our...
So he, like, fixed our brokenness. And then everyone who believes goes back up to God's design. And Jesus wants people to go back into the brokenness so they can spread the gospel.
And Delilah didn't want to... She don't like to talk in public, she said, but she will demonstrate to us what it means to repent. So he said that when you repent, you're walking one way, and then what do, Delilah? You walk the other way. You're supposed to change your direction when you're sorry.
So what they were trying to do is to give middle school and younger kids a way to talk about what the gospel means in words that they understand and the people they were talking to could understand. But one of the other things that they preach, they do this at every youth retreat I've ever been at, and I'm going to keep saying it to you guys, is they're not telling these kids, step aside and wait your turn. They're telling these kids, come back to your church, come back to your community, and make a difference, right? Even if it's embarrassing. So it's our job as the adult community in this church to encourage that. You see Savannah up here singing. If there's a way that you could think to get these guys involved in a way that is non-threatening, doesn't involve public speaking or hitting their leaders with snowballs, it would be a great help, because that's the message they're hearing at these retreats and camp, is they make a difference, they can make a difference, they will make a difference. You got to help them do that.
And the last thing I'll share for us, the adults, is what Pastor Albie shared, that if you have a difficulty talking to others about the gospel, start here, because everybody agrees that we have a lot of brokenness, and they can share that with you. Everybody agrees on this circle. And so if you start there, you start in a place of agreement, and then you can work your way to the other circles. Sorry, this makes me, it was just a very emotional for the kids to be able to share about all the brokenness, not only that they've experienced, but that they've seen in the world. And it was very encouraging for them to hear how God can fix that. Thank you.
Thank you. all start on the outside.
The outside looking in.
This is where race begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give for the shape that we were in. And just when all hope
so serious. Must be the heat. You got to turn the heat down. I think the heat's putting them to sleep, so I'll try to add to that a little bit here. I was reading about why Jesus goes to the hill and he sits down and why everybody else has to stand, which was the normal Jewish tradition. Well, they figured out that you couldn't fall asleep if you're standing up. That's why they always stood and the teacher always sat. Our gospel reading this morning was from the book of Matthew. Jesus is just beginning his early ministry after being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. And he is traveling through Galilee, which is where Jesus did most of his 3-year ministry. It's an important time for Jesus as he is now. He's at the height of his ministry. And he stands at the peak of his popularity.
On the northern coast on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus stops along the mountainside not far from the fishing village of Capernaum. Although his ministry so far has touched the masses, he sees the need now to teach his disciples a deeper meaning. So Jesus stops to give his longest and most popular sermon. It's given the event the name Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' teaches in this message include what's known as the Lord's Prayer, salt and light, and today's message, the Beatitudes. The focus of this Sermon on the Mount was how to live a life of pleasing God and the characteristics of Christian discipleship. This sermon was a revelation through Jesus to his people. It served as a radical wake-up call to all the Christians following him to live a life wholeheartedly for God through faith, not simply through the external actions of keeping the Jewish law. For this passage teaches us how to live with the kingdom of God in mind, with a purpose, as he explained, to challenge us about what it looks like to live as followers of Jesus Christ. He wants to get them to be motivated by the heart, not by the law. The Sermon on the Mount is not simply a list of rules to follow. It's an invitation to live under the grace and experience blessings and rewards from living a Christ-like life. The supernatural grace of our Savior enables us to live the way he spoke of. Without him, we can do nothing. It's all about who Jesus is and whose we are. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Father God, we come today a bit sleepy, a bit warm. Jesus says to his disciples, "Happy are you needy ones. The kingdom of God is yours. Happy are you who are hungry. You will be satisfied. Happy are you who weep now. You will be filled with laughter. Rejected, insulted. Happy are you. Be glad and dance with joy." And Jesus said, "Take up your cross. We will follow you, O Christ, into the needs of the world, into the truth of our lives, and into the pain of our hearts, and into the presence of God." Amen. You are the salt of the earth.
But if the salt loses its taste,
how can you return the salt? Can it be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on. Matthew 5:13. God has always been after our hearts. No matter what we do, how many religious rules we follow or good deeds we accomplish, the assurance that Paul gave to the Roman church is relevant for us today. We all fall short of the glory of God. There's no plausible or possible way that you can earn God's love, his salvation, or his grace. These are gifts given to us by the Father in heaven. Jesus sat down to teach his disciples what is truly meant by being blessed, the Beatitudes, how to pray, the Lord's Prayer, and to live the daily lives in harmony with the Creator in our hearts. The Sermon on the Mount is not simply a list of rules to follow. It's an invitation to live under grace and to experience the blessings and rewards from a living Christ. Now Moses climbed Mount Sinai some 7,500 feet. He had to do this twice because when he came down with the first set of commandments, he saw all of his followers were engaged in idolatry. They had given up so quickly. They were worshiping a golden calf, so he destroyed it. So then when he had to get new ones, he had to climb all the way back up and get them. Now the Ten Commandments are a list of God's commandments on what his followers should not do. Jesus is preaching at Mount Hermon. It's on the smaller side. It's a
It's a small mountain. It looks more like a hill to me.
This hill is called Chorazin Plateau.
And it is more like a long, long sloping hill with an area near the top to preach from. Today it's called the Mount of Beatitudes. Now the Beatitudes are a list of 8 character traits that Jesus says we should all choose to follow. They are 8 character traits which identify true followers of Jesus. They are not choices. If you're a follower of Jesus, you follow them. They're a package deal. You can't just pick one out and say this one's good and that one fits me. Think of shopping at Costco or BJ's. You may want one can of pink salmon for your salmon mousse, but you're going to get 8, bones and all, whether you like it or not. Now, Moses' Beatitudes are comprised of 107 verses and 3 chapters, 5, 6, and 7. If you read these 3 chapters, it would probably take you about 10 minutes. But most scholars suggest that Jesus was actually up on this hill teaching for days. Now, the large group surrounding Jesus were comprised of his disciples, along with many of his following believers. These people were not the general public, and Jesus was not commanding them to sit with him or join with them. These are his followers who wanted to learn what he was teaching. Interesting that as Jesus got closer to the crucifixion, these numbers dwindled. And then after his resurrection, they returned. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and he sat down. Disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Matthew 5. Bible commentaries state when Jesus sat down to teach his disciples, he didn't yell for their attention. He simply sat down and he opened his mouth. Jesus wasn't a self-righteous teacher who in any way fit the description of the modern teachers of that day. He was God walking among them. When he sat down to teach, the supernatural divinity the Son of God spoke out to all of his disciples. Remember, the Jews prided themselves on obeying the law. Jesus is preaching to his followers that they need to be motivated not by the laws, but by the heart. To please God, Jesus is telling them that to be true disciples, they all needed to worship with a listening and loving heart. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but I have come to fulfill them. Matthew 5:17. The Old Testament and the New Testament combined provide complete story for our salvation. Jesus teaches us some radical ideas to listening to his disciples, but he wasn't reinventing the proverbial wheel. Those following Jesus were missing the whole complete picture. And Jesus is trying to fill them in. They were used to religions with rules. And they had to learn a whole new way here of living in order to be counted worthy of God. Now Jesus was adding the rest of the story. He was filling in the pieces. And it may have seemed too good to be true for many of them. The words of this sermon, wrote John Foster for Life, Hope, and Truth, are as relevant today as they were when Christ spoke them. We submit the authority of our lives to Christ and let his goodness and love flow through us. In Christ, we have become new creations. Now, Jesus is speaking directly about their anxious hearts. Do not be anxious about life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not your life more than food and your body more than clothing? Matthew 6:25. Jesus must have sensed a level of panic amidst his listeners. No one could live up to these standards. And that was his point. No one could live up to these standards. He points his followers beyond the basics of human existence that can consume the natural mind. Especially when food and drink and clothing become scarce,
wrote David Mathis of Desiring God. However, if we know the Father, we know that he cares for his creatures, and all the more his image bearers. In addition, regarding the things we worry about and compare our lives at times, our looks and our stuff, and some more basic needs like food and shelter, he instructs us not to worry about these things. When we follow Jesus, we put our trust in who he is, not what we are capable of. God is our provider. God is our defender. God is our creator. He is faithful and he is compassionate. There is nothing we could ever do to lose his love. One of the most important messages Jesus will extend here is in his sermon is that he will reveal his authority. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Matthew 7, 28, 29. Jesus, God made flesh to dwell among us, undeniably revealing more of his identity as he preached the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew Henry explains in his commentaries, the multitudes were astonished at the wisdom and power of Christ's doctrine. And this sermon, ever so often read over, is always new to us. Every word proves its author to be divine. Jesus spoke with the authority they had not previously witnessed. And to this day, when we hear or read this sermon, we can feel the authority to which Christ spoke, not just those who sat among them that day, but for generations to come. The Beatitudes, God's blessings. The word blessed to be translated from the Greek to be the word happy. Jesus is saying, he's speaking to the universal language of every person that has ever lived on the planet of the earth. He's answering a question that is related today, just as important today as it was 2,000 years ago. It's as relevant to the person at the corner office at North Park as it was relevant to the villagers that stumbled upon the hill that day. Greg Laurie preached in a recent sermon about two unbiblical ideas that most people believe. He went on to preach that there are many sentiments people carry on in their life that are simply not biblical. God is mad at you. Quoting Jeremiah 31:3, which says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you from unfailing kindness. And in John 3:1, which says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. God loves you. God wants to bless you. Laurie's next unbiblical belief was, God loves me and he accepts me as I am. Noting that Christians are responsible for using wisdom and making judgments during critical matters. Laurie acknowledged that Jesus did say, judge not, lest ye be judged. But he said that a better translation would be, condemn not, lest ye be condemned. If someone were to ask, isn't it true that God loves me and he accepts me as I am? Laurie said that technically, the answer is yes. But he added that God loves you and accepts you as you are, but he doesn't want to leave you that way. So God does not love us based on what we do, as we do not have to earn his love. Yet he does not leave us as we are. Jesus is telling us God loves us and God wants to bless us when he's asking the questions, do you want to be happy? How can we be happy? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To the poor in spirit is to be humble. Teachable. Jesus wants us always to humbly acknowledge our need for him. Luke 17:20. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We will face challenges and problems, and we will be tested. As we mourn our losses and our trials, we are promised that we will be blessed as we endure. God will send His Holy Spirit to comfort us in our times of need. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. To be meek is to be gentle, kind, patient, tolerant, not proud, mighty, or conceited. The Savior showed His meekness by being willing to submit to the will of God. Even in a moment of extreme agony, He said to God, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Luke 22. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We can come closer to God as we try to follow His teachings and learn more about Him. The more knowledge that we seek, the more He'll bless us with. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Jesus Christ was a perfect example of showing forgiveness and mercy. Even when He was suffering on the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do." Since we all need mercy, we all must show mercy. Justice is getting what you deserve, but mercy is in not getting what we deserve. Luke 6. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall inherit. They shall see God. God will make Himself known unto us if we have a pure heart. If we earnestly strive to be like God, our motives and our actions will be honorable, and our hearts will be pure. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Another name Jesus has is the Prince of Peace. Jesus encourages us to follow His example by loving everyone so we can live together in harmony. And the last one, blessed are they which are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We may face criticism from society or other groups for the way that we live, the things that we believe in and the things that we do, bravely standing up for the principles of God and for His church. God will bless you for it in both this life and the next. One of my study books stated, "The preacher needs to help the congregation realize that the Beatitudes are Jewish in character. Christians sometimes see the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount as an invitation in religious thought, even superseding Judaism. A bitter irony is that the church has used these realm-anticipating Beatitudes to justify the brutal treatment of Jewish people. In fact, the idea in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount are they are Jewish in origin. The innovative element is not to their core theology content, but interpreting the ministry of Jesus as signing that the realm of the apocalypse is at hand. A preacher would help the congregation discover how the values of the core of the Beatitudes are shared with the synagogue down the street." Why is the Sermon on the Mount so important? Well, for this reason: God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9. The authority of God blanketed the hillside by the Sea of Galilee as Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. This piece of scripture is important because it solidifies Christ's identity and ours in Him. Some build their hopes upon worldly prosperity, others upon outward possessions of religion. Matthew Henry explains in his commentary, "Upon these they venture, but they are all built on sand, too weak to bear such fearing as our hopes of heaven." Our hope is not of this world or anything that it could offer us. Our joy and our peace in Christ are eternal. Life on earth will be hard, will be painful. and it will be unfair at times. But nothing in this world can throw at us, can ever trump the love of Christ residing in our very souls. We are sealed. We are his forever and ever, free because of his sacrifice and his salvation. The Sermon on the Mount, it encourages us. It convicts us. But the most incredible thing extracted from these passages, it creates a better picture of Jesus, his authority residing in each of Christ's followers. It is he flowing through each of us that accomplishes anything good that we do. There is only the glory of God, the fulfiller of history, the judge of the universe. The supernatural grace of our Savior enables us to live the way he spoke of. Without him, we do nothing good. It's all about who Jesus is and whose we are. Amen. Bow in prayer with me, please. Father God, we come today to worship you. We come today to lift before you our hopes and prayers and our joys and our concerns. Father, we each have a lot going on in our world and in our lives, and sometimes we don't want to stop and pause and give them up to you. Father God, there open an opportunity to hear to share our prayers and our hurts. But Father God, a lot of them will not be said. A lot of them will be held back. Father God, we thank you that we are able to come before you. We thank you that we have the gift of being able to share with you the fact that you love us, care for us, and you want to hear what's going on in our lives. Father God, I lift up Mike Bergamo. I pray for continued healing for him. I lift up Rogine. Father God, there's more, and I will open it up before you. Father God, I know there's so many prayers that were said silently. We have so many that are dealing with so many different issues, from loss of family over the year, to feeling alone, abandoned, to feeling struggles of getting through life, struggles of understanding. Father God, we know that you're with each of us. We know that you hold us in your hands and you comfort us. You listen to us and you care. We come today rejoicing in that. Thank you and praise you, and we give you this day. In your name we pray, Father. Amen. Let us get back with joy in our hearts and be thankful for all the many blessings.
God, you bless us in so many ways, in so many areas of our life, in places that we fail to even recognize that you are. Help us to have the eyes to see and the hearts to understand in the depth of your love and your blessing. Today we give out that blessedness, dedicating ourselves to lives of justice and love, giving all that we are and all that we have to bring about a beloved community, here and now and forever. Thank you for your many blessings. In your name we pray. Amen. Downstairs for something afterward. Those who live lives pleasing to God shall be moved. Go now to embrace the kingdom values, value of love, justice, and peace. Go now with God's blessings to live those values through the power of our challenging, faithful, loving, empowering God. Go now in his peace. Amen.